And it's good to remind ourselves of this passage. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, on page 970. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, page 970. Reading from verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Amen. So in the last few weeks, since the beginning of the year, we've been looking at this prayer that we've just read again. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, or forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those who are debtors to us or sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or as we've just read, deliver us from the evil one. And we were reminded way back at the beginning of January, as we pray this prayer, it is a prayer that is given by Jesus to his disciples. It marks that which is distinctive about those who are followers of Jesus. Those who are followers of Jesus accept and pray this prayer to define themselves, to remind themselves, this is who we are. These are our values. This is our ethos. This is what we live for. This is what inspires us. This is what we are passionate about. And we begin with the phrase, our Father in heaven. That reminder that we are inextricably related to God, our Father, just as we are related and have the DNA of our parents, our natural parents, so wonderfully, mysteriously, beautifully, we have the DNA of God in us. And just as we end up maybe not looking so much like our parents, but, you know, more concerningly, we end up with the quirks, the habits of our parents, the very things that wound us up when we were little, you know, we end up doing them. And we see our parents in ourselves. Inevitably, we will end up doing the things of God because we're related to him. Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. This is about God's reputation. We are praying, Lord, we want your reputation, your name. We want your name to be regarded as holy. That is, we want, when people think about God, we want people to be in awe, to think about your love as being extraordinary, to be magnificent. We want people, when they think about God and God's justice, to be in awe of God because of the way he administers justice. This is what we're praying. Hallowed be your name. Lord, may your name be hallowed. May your reputation be high. And then we pray passionately, your kingdom come, the kingdom of God that is seen in Jesus, the values and the ethos that we see in the life and the teaching of Jesus. Oh God, bring that kingdom, and may I be part of the bringing of that kingdom here on earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we're thinking about the will of God for us, that's where it always begins. It begins with us. Your will, God's will for us. It is God's desire for each one of us that we be everything that God created us to be. That we learn and we remember that we are loved with an everlasting love. That we live within the fullness of that love. That God has created us to be beautiful, to be magnificent, to be extraordinary. God's will for us, Lord, help me to be everything you've created me to be. But your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. May your desire for earth be like that in heaven, where justice is done, where mercy is administered, and may we be part of that. Give us today our daily bread, reminding us we are dependent upon God, and all we need is what we have today. And it's a prayer that I think if we take it seriously, then we begin to move to a more minimalist lifestyle. We recognize how much that we have and how much we have worked all our lives for, often we don't actually need. And so we say, what is it that I need? What is it that others need? And it's about saying, just as we pray, your kingdom come, the different values and ethos of the way of Jesus, we pray, give us today our daily bread for the whole world. May greed be stemmed. May the abuse of the environment be stopped. Just because we've been driven by what we don't need. Give us today just what we need. And then forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Or forgive us our debts as we forgive those who owe us, those who are in debt to us. And of course, this extraordinary element of the prayer. Forgive us, Lord, and we accept this, we buy into this. Forgive us in the same way that we forgive others. If we don't forgive others, then Lord, we are giving you permission not to forgive us. And that's an extraordinary statement. And yet, of course, as we read in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, if you forgive other people when they sin, your Heavenly Father will forgive you, and so on. It's emphasized, it's repeated for us there. And so we say, okay, this is how I need to live. And we begin to work it out. And I was talking to somebody just a couple of weeks ago, a guy who's actually a professor at Chester University. Completely unrelated topic that I'd heard him speak about, and just reflecting. Do we live our lives on the basis of what we see just in front of us? Or do we live our lives on the basis of what God teaches? And that is often the challenge, because we can see people and we can acknowledge what they've done, and what particularly what they've done wrong or what they owe to us. And we say, well, I can't forgive them. I can't forgive their debt, you know. And that's right, what's in front of us. And we can live our life on the basis of that. Or we can say, no, I live my life on the basis of what the Bible teaches, what God teaches, a basis of good theology. And it says, forgive as I forgive. Therefore, I know it's almost impossible to forgive this person. I'm not sure I can. But I'm going to try because of what God teaches. And it is that rooting ourselves, as we pray this prayer, we're rooting ourselves in God. And saying, I may not know how to do this, but this is what inspires me. This is what I'm moving for. And that is a very powerful thing. Lead us not into temptation. Or as we saw last week, lead us not into testing. And as we saw last week, each of these phrases where we say, your kingdom come, your will be done, give us today, forgive us. These are very strong statements, saying to her, almost demanding of God, your kingdom come, give us, your will be done, give us, forgive us. When we get to lead us not, there is a sense of, I know God, you will lead me into a place of testing. You will do that. And I need that. That all the rubbish that's accumulated around me might be dealt with. You will. And I'm not demanding that you don't. Just as Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, may this cup pass from me. But, not my will, but yours. That sense of, I can't demand this of you. But I know what it is to be stripped bare. That's what it is in testing. And so I'd rather not go there. But if I have to, okay, I accept that. And then today we come to and deliver us from evil, or and deliver us from the evil one. So just going to reflect for a couple of moments on evil. Deliver us from evil. And there's a number of different ways in which we can understand this evil. A very obvious way, as we read through the Gospels, a very obvious way to think about evil is, of course, as Matthew, we read it in Matthew's Gospel as it's been translated here, but deliver us from the evil one. And very pointedly, we could be saying, Lord, deliver us from the evil one, from the devil himself, from the tempter. And the word Satan means the tempter. So we shouldn't use Satan as a name. It's a descriptive. It is the Satan, the tempter. And so we can be praying, deliver us from the devil. In my life, every day, deliver me from the devil, from Satan, from the tempter, the one who would lead me astray. It was C.S. Lewis who, you know, he had some great turns of phrase. And C.S. Lewis said there's two errors we can make when we think about the devil. One is to ignore the devil entirely. To say the devil is irrelevant, maybe the devil doesn't exist, even exist. Now C.S. Lewis says the devil loves that. Because if we say the devil is irrelevant, doesn't exist, then the devil can get on with all the mischief he wants to. And we'll never blame him, because we don't believe he exists. But C.S. Lewis says, on the opposite side, we can obsess about the devil. And everything is the fault of the devil. Kind of at every corner we see, the devil. The devil, we've got to drive out the devil, you know. And all that, and we may have met people like that. And C.S. Lewis says that is an equal problem to ignoring the devil, because then the devil doesn't actually have to do anything. But he's getting all the praise that he wants. And he's not doing anything. And there are these tensions that we need to recognize. The place is clearly taught, particularly in the New Testament, of the existence of a devil, a malevolent metaphysical being. But recognize that God is always greater. And so when we pray, deliver us from evil, we may be praying, deliver us from the evil one, from the devil. But then the second way we can regard this prayer and properly understand it, deliver us from evil. We see in our world that which is evil, that which sucks life away from us. And I'm sure if we just did a poll kind of now, I'm sure we could all think of things. Prominently there on the news, on a regular basis. Things that are evil. People that are sometimes spoken of as being evil because of what they have done. And we say, Lord, deliver us from this evil that is so obvious, that seems to be increasingly prominent in our world. Whether it be wars or torture or abuse, whatever it is, deliver us from evil. So on the one hand, we can be praying, deliver us from the evil one, but then we could be praying, deliver us from the evil, from all this awfulness that we see, that sucks life away from us, that sucks life out of people. We could be praying in that way. But it may be that the third way is the most important. And that is, there's an insidiousness to evil, such that it almost creeps up on us. And we're not aware, really, of what we're doing. But we're completely accepting. Maybe it's the isms. It may be that, you know, I'm sure I have been guilty of racism in my life. I'm sure I have. And yet racism, for many of us, is something we've been guilty of. And we say, well, how was that? And it's because there is just a general common understanding of how life is within our cultures. And we accept racist attitudes. Well, they're just normal. And this is part of the insidiousness of evil. If evil can make things normal, we no longer see them for what they are, and they're not prominent and in our face. And so when we pray, deliver us from evil, we're saying, Lord, deliver me from accepting what is wrong as right. And it might be racism. It might be sexism. And that's been in the news quite recently with the hashtag MeToo campaigns. And just the recognition of sometimes the misogyny that has existed and continues to exist, and the way in which women have not been given their right place within the church, let alone within society more broadly. And why do we accept these things? Why do we defend them? It's because of the insidiousness of evil that just creeps up on us and we don't see it anymore. Or consumerism, anotherism. You know, we accept this is just the way it is. We earn money and we consume. We have more than we need, but that's just the way it is. And we accept this is just normal. And it's that insidiousness. And we pray, the disciple of Jesus prays, deliver us from evil. Because we don't want to live blind to these evils. We want to live fully aware, eyes wide open to these things. Lord, change me. I don't want to be guilty of these things. And I want to call them out and name them as they really are. So, deliver us from evil. It could be that we're praying, deliver us from the evil one. Most cases, I would suggest that's not really what we're praying. Could be, deliver us from the evil that is very prominent and very we see very clearly. But then the more subtle evil, I think most of the time, every day, we need to be praying for. Deliver us from evil. And then this word, deliver. What are we talking about here? Deliver us from evil. And this word can just as well be translated as rescue. Rescue us from evil. Or a third way to translate this, not just deliver us from evil or rescue us from evil, but thirdly, we could talk of it as defend us in the midst of evil. Defend us in the midst of evil. There's that extraordinary passage at the end of Romans chapter 7 when the Apostle Paul is writing, and there are some people, of course, and some writers and preachers and whatever say, oh no, this couldn't possibly be Paul who's writing these words. You know, when Paul says, he writes, you know, the very thing, what a wretched man I am. The very things I want to do, I don't do. And the very things I don't want to do, I do. And you can see there, just in that tortured way in which Paul is expressing himself, it's just, I'm so frustrated, I'm so wound up, I keep doing the very things I don't want to do. He says, what a wretched man. Who will rescue me? Who will rescue me from this body of death? And it's the same word that here. Deliver us. Who will deliver me? Who will defend me? Who is it who will help? And of course, the one who is the deliverer. And so this deliverance, this rescuing, this defending by God. And of course, it's not just in the future. It is in the here and now. That's what the Apostle Paul expresses. Who will rescue me? Who will defend me? Who will deliver me right here and now? And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul reflects back to the believers in Thessalonica. This is your testimony. This is how you have lived. And he says in verse 10, right now you are waiting for the Son from the heavens, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us. Jesus who delivers us. Jesus who defends us. And then this phrase, from the coming wrath, or really it should be from the present and continuing and coming wrath. Right in the middle of what we are experiencing right now. This is not something in the future, it's right now. And that sense of nowness. Deliver us from evil. So we see, deliver us, rescue us, defend us right now from these evils that we have thought about. I'm going to put up very quickly just three words and just touch on them for 30 seconds each. Love, mercy, and justice. How do we live within that prayer? Deliver us from evil. Do we just pray the prayer, deliver us from evil? Or as disciples, are we saying we live within it? We enact this in our lives. How do we enact deliver us from evil? We love. We act with mercy. And we act with justice. We love. We act with mercy and we act with justice. And while there may be evil going on all around us, our actions will at the one hand deliver, rescue and defend us against evil. It will engage us in our mission to transform evil into good. And it will rescue others from evil. Simply by doing these things. By committing ourselves to love as Christ loved, to love and love and love, to be merciful, to be dangerously, wonderfully merciful, and to commit ourselves to act with justice, God's extraordinary justice, where his love is expressed throughout our lives and the lives of our community. And may God give us the grace and the courage and the encouragement and inspiration to live within this. Amen. Amen.